And I know for myself and Alyssa, it's just such an honor to work with these families and, you know, help in this process in any way we can.
Welcome to Let's Talk About Life, a podcast brought to you by LifePath. Donation can be a complicated subject, but it is really all about life. Spend a few minutes as we unravel the complexities of donation. Let's talk about life.
In the many years I've worked at Life Bank, I've always been proud of the care and compassion we have for our donor families. Our bereavement services department has been phenomenal since the beginning, and we are continuously striving to improve resources, services, and support for our families. One of the major tasks of the Bereavement Services Department is to manage correspondence between donor families and recipients. Overwhelmingly, however, there is a question that so many ask. Why haven't I heard from the recipients of my loved one's gifts? Or I wrote to my donor's family to express my deep gratitude, but have never heard back. Why? Hi, you're listening to episode 149 of Let's Talk About Life. I'm your host, Colleen Gerber, kidney recipient and LifeBank staff member. I am so thrilled to be joined by my colleague, Dina Balk, bereavement services coordinator and counselor. Dina is integral to the work of what we do with our donor families and how we care for them with compassion and concern. Dina is responsible for donor family recipients' correspondence. Dina, thank you so much for being here and sharing your expertise with our listeners.
Sure. Always lovely to be here with you, Colleen.
I would like to put you on the spot. Before we jump into our topic, do you want to share your special connection to donation and transplantation with our listeners?
Oh, sure. It's so meaningful for me to be in this role and to be with Life Bank. My mom was a liver recipient. She had a liver transplant at the Cleveland Clinic in 2005. And so, you know, transplantation and Life Bank in particular has always been just a really important part of my family. And so it's just such an honor to be doing this work.
Absolutely. And I think those who have that connection, it's so much more than just a job. It's so much more than just a role that you do at Life Bank. It really is a personal mission.
For sure. And I think Life Bank is such a unique place where there are so many folks here who care so deeply about this mission, either for personal reasons or just because it's such an important mission. So it's just so wonderful to be doing this work, especially in service of donor families who, you know, make transplantation possible.
Absolutely. I'm going to talk about my personal situation. I've reached out to my donor family several times and just thanking them for giving me the gift of life and allowing me to experience so many milestones in life. But I have never heard back from them. Now, I don't think they owe me that. No, I don't think I need to hear from them to know that they did what they did out of their compassion and generosity for other people. But what are some of the reasons that donor families or recipients for that matter may not respond once they receive a letter or correspondence?
Donor families and recipients are both navigating so much, you know, in the aftermath of donation and transplantation. And I think there's so many different reasons why we see families or recipients either not responding or not initiating writing. Obviously, for donor families, they're navigating this intense of a sudden loss. And so a lot of times we hear families, you know, just aren't ready to sit down and write a letter. They're in too much pain. Also, I've heard families talk about not wanting to put that pain onto a recipient. And so that can be definitely, you know, a boundary that they want to uphold. Like they're happy that transplantation happened, but they don't want to put, you know, their pain onto someone else.
Oh, that's interesting.
I think families, yeah, I think there are some families who cannot handle the possibility of there being sad news, like if a recipient is not doing well or has passed away. And so obviously when you write, you're kind of, you know, opening that door to initiating contact. And I think there are families who just are not ready or wouldn't be able to handle that kind of news.
I think it requires a vulnerability on both sides.
Absolutely.
And it is so complicated because, first of all, we normally, as a recipient, you don't know exactly how that donor passed. And, you know, not everybody passes peacefully and in a restful manner, let's say. But a lot of it is trauma, tragedy, you know, bad things happening to good people. And it's so complicated, those feelings. I think we really need to look at that and say, well, this family lost a loved one. They've lost somebody significant. And again, my feeling is they don't owe anybody anything when they already said yes to donation. You know, they did their part. They did what should have been done or needed to be done, or they fulfilled their loved one's wishes. But it is so complicated because we just don't know what that ending was.
To what you said, there can be this real push-pull between wanting to know who your donor was, wanting to know how your recipient is doing, and then also wanting to maintain that idealized version of how things have gone or what the outcome was, right? So having that picture in your head of who the donor was, or having that image of your loved ones saving numerous lives and having those recipients be healthy and thriving. And so I think there really is this on both sides, both for donor families and recipients, there can be this tension between wanting to know the truth and wanting to reach out and make those connections, and then also wanting to uphold that, you know, ideal image of how things went. So I think that families and recipients likely struggle with that as well.
I agree. And also, I think social media, in a way, kind of heightens that, those expectations when we see these beautiful videos or posts about recipients meeting donor families, and there's this bond that's built, and, you know, they're friends, and they go out to dinner, and they do all these wonderful things together, and they almost become a new family. When the reality is, that's a very small percentage of donor family and recipients. The majority of donor families may correspond or recipients may correspond, but they don't have that walking off into the sunset holding hands experience that we see so much on social media. I think it's exaggerated. You know, I think it provides a picture in our head and we assume that's what every situation is like.
Might set that unrealistic expectation for how, you know, you how things will go or how you'd love things to go. And then, you know, things don't always turn out like that.
Absolutely. So what are some of the reasons why a donor family may not want to meet?
I think, you know, writing, I think, is one step. And I think meeting is a whole other step. And we've heard from a couple of donor families how intimidating it is, or just how intimidating the idea of really putting a face to that person is. You know, we've heard from families who have gone through our release of information process, who have corresponded with recipients. They've both made the decision they want to exchange information. And then as soon as the information is exchanged, like they get their recipient contact information, they just stare at it for a couple of weeks without kind of knowing what to do with it. Because again, it feels like such this big, intimidating step. And so I think families and recipients likely feel that the weight of that. And so just that, you know, intimidation of how things will go or what this step might bring, that can just be kind of off-putting or scary for people.
Well, absolutely. These are strangers and doesn't mean they're going to connect. Like we said earlier, there's this expectation. And if the person doesn't turn out to be what you pictured in your head, there can be some disappointment or whatever. It's hard to put that on somebody to react in a way that you think they should react.
Right. And like, as we know, these matches between organ donors and recipients are not made by how compatible families will be. So again, like it's like any relationship, right? Like you hit it off with some people and some people you just don't hit it off with. And so it can be scary to try to, you know, take that step and see what that relationship would actually be like.
Yeah. But what about recipients being hesitant in reaching out to donor families? I mean, they've received this gift of a lifetime. And why wouldn't they want to reach out to a donor's family?
I think for many recipients, you know, it's hard to grapple with what you were saying, the magnitude of this gift. So I remember something my mom used to say was, you know, thank you is what you say to the person that bags your groceries at the grocery store. What do you say to the family of your organ donor? Like, thank you doesn't seem like enough. So just kind of struggling to put that into words. And then also, we talk to a lot of recipients, you know, the recovery from a transplant is a long road. And there are many recipients who want to wait until they are in perfect health or in a better, you know, health situation before they reach out so as not to upset the family. But, you know, again, for many recipients, that is not an easy or straightforward process. And so just not wanting to upset the family by talking about any health setbacks or just wanting to wait till they're in really perfect health, which again can be a hard goal to get to. And then I think so many recipients also deal with aspects of survivor's guilt, which is, you know, that concept, that phenomenon we see in survivors of trauma where other people have passed away, where people question why they're still here when someone else had to die. Why did I receive this gift when my donor had passed away for me to get it? Right. And so I think many recipients struggle with that. And it is enough of a barrier to create that, to keep them from reaching out.
Just again, from my experience with working with a lot of recipients, it was like, why me? Why am I here and their loved one isn't? And that's hard to process. And we all know that, you know, the donor would have passed regardless of if they donated organs or not. But for the recipient, it is a question that runs through your mind. Yeah, it's so deep, so complicated. And you're right, not every transplant goes smoothly and recovery time could be well over a year. So, you know, it just goes back to being compassionate and giving the other person space and understanding that, you know, you don't know what their road is. So just being kind.
Yeah. And I think if there's one takeaway from all this, what I would hope it is that even if a recipient never writes back, it doesn't mean they're not grateful for their gift. I've never met a recipient that wasn't grateful for their gift. And even if a donor family never writes back, it doesn't mean that they weren't grateful for any letter that they received, because these letters can be so meaningful for donor families. Just acknowledging that, you know, everyone's at a different place in this process, but that even if you don't hear back, it's not that you're talking to a brick wall. Like, there is someone on the other side of this, and they may have been really impacted by your letter. And I always really commend folks like recipients, like you were saying, who reach out to their donor family despite never hearing back, who just continue to reach out and let them know how grateful they are. Because again, those letters can be so, so meaningful.
Right. But I'm so glad you brought that up, because I think you're right on. You know, obviously this is why you're an expert, but I think there's gratitude there and appreciation on both sides, regardless if there's ever a letter or not. So knowing some of these things, what can I do as a recipient, or what can donor families do to look at this process in a healthy way that's going to be beneficial for each of them?
I think the most important first step you can take before you sit down to write a letter is take stock of your expectations of this process. Why do you want to reach out? What are you hoping to get out of this experience? Because I think knowing that and really being able to answer those questions for yourself will help set the tone for how the process will go, or how you'll experience the process, how it might feel for you. So just taking stock of that and acknowledging to yourself, like, oh, I'm really hoping to get this outcome out of this, I think it can be really powerful. And then I always encourage families and recipients, be honest about those expectations in your letter. If you want to meet the other party, if you really want to meet your loved one's recipient and hear their heartbeat or listen to their, you know, their lungs working, say that. Say that in your letter. I think to an extent you have nothing to lose, but I think that being honest is so powerful and so important, just in setting those expectations for the other person and letting them kind of decide if that's what they want as well. And then if you just want to express your gratitude, or if you want to learn more about your donor family or about your recipient, say that, you know, say, I would love to hear back from you. So I think being honest and being as much as you're putting as much of yourself into your letter as you can will help set a realistic expectation for the person who receives your letter.
Absolutely. And examining the reasons you're reaching out, you know, if it for a recipient just to express gratitude, that's wonderful. But if your expectation is to, you know, gain a new family, that might be something right. You need to work through a little bit.
Totally. And I think acknowledging that to yourself can be really powerful and saying, oh, okay, I guess I'm really setting the bar high here. Like, this is really, you know, I'm hoping to get a lot out of this. Again, it can just be really powerful for how you move forward.
Right.
And I think lastly, just giving yourself and the person that you're writing to as much grace as you possibly can in this process. Because this is an emotionally vulnerable thing to do, right? To reach out, to write a letter, to share about your loved one, to share about your transplant experience. It's vulnerable. And I think giving yourself as much grace as possible, and also extending as much empathy as you can to whoever is receiving your letter, whether or not they respond, I think can just help you through that process.
Yes, I agree. And being compassionate with them and understanding that their side of the coin, you know, the transplantation and the donation coin, is the exact opposite of yours, whatever that is, whether you're the recipient or the donor family. They're at the exact opposite ends of the situation. So to be compassionate about that and be willing to give them space and time if that's what they need. That's excellent, Dina. Excellent. As I mentioned earlier, I'm so proud of the work that our bereavement services department does. We have a long history of being innovative with how we help our families, and we offer them so many resources. And we have a resource coming up next month, right, to help families with writing to either their recipient or their donor family.
Or it's actually for donor families and recipients, June 17th, which is a Monday evening, and we have a workshop all about helping folks sit down and figure out how to write those letters, both to donor families and to recipients. So it's open to any donor family, any transplant recipient. You know, if you want to hear more about this topic, we'll have a donor family and recipient who did correspond and eventually meet, share their story, which is always so powerful. And then we'll have a presentation all about how to write, you know, the process of writing, and then going into detail about what might happen when you write, you know, outcomes, things to expect from this process, and things to be aware of. We started doing it last year, and it was really well received. We're really proud to be able to do it again. So hopefully, you know, if you're thinking about writing, no matter when your transplant was or no matter when your loved one passed away, if you're thinking about writing, but you're just not sure how to proceed, it would be a great event.
Dina, thank you so much. I appreciate you being here and talking with me about this important subject, something that we work with every day. And I know a lot of people ask, you know, have you heard from your donor family? Have you heard from your recipient? And so I think it's really top of mind for both sides of as I said, the donation transplantation coin. And again, I thank you for your work. What you do is amazing. You guys, it's you and Alyssa, and you're a dynamic duo, and you take care of all these families, and we're just so proud of what you provide to our donor families and your personal connection, and I couldn't be more, like I said, proud of our bereavement services department, so thank you.
Thank you so much, and I know for myself and Alyssa, it's just such an honor to work with these families and, you know, help in this process in any way we can.
Thank you for listening to Let's Talk About Life. If you have questions about today's podcast, reach out to us at info@lifebank.org. Take a few minutes to do something heroic and register to be an organ donor by saying yes at lifebank.org. Literally, someone's life is depending on it.